We invite you to turn in your Bibles to our scripture reading this morning from the book of Philippians. We'll be reading verses from chapter 1 and from chapter 4. So chapter 1, beginning at verse 3 and reading to verse 6. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And then turn over to chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, reading to verse 18. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except only you. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Now that I seek the gift, but I seek the gift, the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. May God bless this reading of his word this morning.
We have joyously gathered to worship the Lord, and as part of our worship this morning, we are going to commission our brother and sister, Ken and Debbie, to the mission field. But first of all, we need to stop and ask the basic question, why? Or what is it? What does it mean to commission someone? What it means to commission someone is to give authorization, to give a command to another, to do a particular task or to fulfill a particular task that is given to them to do. As we commission Debbie and Ken, along with New Tribe's mission, we are giving them the authorization, we're giving them the authority, we're giving them the responsibility to be trainers at New Tribe's Mission's Missionary Training Center in Colombia. But why? Why do we want to commission them with this responsibility to train others so that others may go with the gospel to unreached people groups and tell the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why do we want to train them or commission them to train others to do this? Well, the prophet Isaiah answers that in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 and 8. In Isaiah 42, verse 5, it reads, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it." Verse 8, "I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols." Throughout the scriptures, as we read these scriptures that God has given to us, we see that the concept of monotheism is unwavering. Mono, one, theos, God, one God. The concept of monotheism is proclaimed throughout the entire scripture. Polytheism, that is the belief in many deities or a multitude of gods and goddesses, throughout the scriptures, polytheism is repudiated, it is rejected, it is the way of death, and it is something that we are commanded to repent of. Therefore, G. Christian Wace writes, "The concept of monotheism logically and automatically demands the missionary concept. Since he is the one and only true God, the truth concerning him ought to be proclaimed to all mankind. And this proclamation of the truth of God to all mankind becomes urgent, becomes paramount when we consider two other facts. First, when we consider the divine eternal judgment upon humanity for our idolatrous rebellion, and when we consider the second fact, that God himself has come to us, has come to the earth as Jesus Christ to die and forgive us of our sins and bring us into a relationship with him. So again, God cries out in Isaiah 45, starting halfway through verse 21. And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. So as American preacher John Piper reminds us, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. Today we are commissioning the Dewar family to the task of international mission because there is but one true God whose name, whose glory must be declared among the nations. So that the nations, hearing that name, hearing that glory, may repent and find salvation and their enjoyment of God. That is the basis for our commissioning. Now for the exhortation. I'm going to start, first of all, with you. That is First Baptist Church. I'm going to give you an exhortation of seven simple words. The exhortation is this: be the doers, companions in the gospel. Be the doers, companions in the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. You were just read those with Ted. Paul the missionary gave thanks with joy to God because of the partnership of the Philippian church with him. In Philippians chapter 4, it spoke of the Philippians sharing in Paul's troubles, spoke in giving materially, meeting his financial and his physical needs. That's what the church did and how they partnered with Paul multiple times. You see, it's easy for us, First Baptists, to, in the context of our worship service and as a response to God, we can give the doers authorization. We can give them responsibility and send them off to Colombia. And it's easy to do that and then think after the barbecue today, after today ends, we can think, okay, now it's their task, it's their job alone. No, that's not true. That's not true. We, First Baptists, along with New Tribes Mission, along with their other supporters, we're all partners, we're all companions together. And this companionship continues, this partnership continues for as long as God has them out there. And this is a companionship under Jesus. And so, we are to be their companions in this ministry of equipping nationals for church planting in South America as well. We may not be traveling with them to Colombia, but they are part of our church body. They're members. So their life and ministry is also our life and ministry. We're in this together. On October 2nd, 1792, at a Baptist ministerial in Nottingham, England. They were making some decisions, and the decisions were about how can we establish an overseas missionary society, a Baptist missionary society to promote the gospel overseas. One of the men that was there in 1792 is a name you're familiar with, William Carey. But there was another pastor there, another minister there, and his name was Andrew Fuller. And he wrote about that meeting. We saw that there was a gold mine in India. Now, when he says a gold mine in India, he's speaking figuratively. He's not talking about the gold we use to make our jewelry. But he's speaking about the gold as the opportunity to preach the gospel in that land of India. So he says, we saw that there was a gold mine in India, but it seemed almost as deep as the center of the earth. Who will venture to explore it? I will go down, said Mr. Carey to his brethren, but remember that you must hold the ropes. We solemnly engage to do so, nor while we live shall we desert him. The point that Mr. Carey was making, that the other minister had recorded, was this. He wasn't going to spend the next 40 years, which is how long he spent there, in India alone by himself. He was going to be there and only able to stay there as long as those back in England were his companions, were his partners holding the ropes. He was able to go to that land and spend and do what he did in part because of his companionship, his partners with those who remained in England. Together, sharers in the gospel, sharers of possessions, of troubles, of victories, of words, of prayers, we are going to be companions with the doers. We're going to be companions with New Tribes Mission. We're going to be companions with the South American National and Tribal Church. Let us not say at the end of the day, well, we have sent off the doers, our job is done. No, it's only just begun. The journey has just begun. Our responsibility here at home has just begun. We too, as we commission them, are commissioning ourselves because we are partners in the gospel. Let us hold the ropes. Ken and Debbie, Austin, Kaylee, and Kendra, a word of exhortation to you. When my family and I went in 1998 to Thailand with WEC International as missionaries, we met with our field leader within the first few weeks, and our field leader told us some things. And one of the things she told us, she said, you will be tested in your term here. And you'll be tested in one or multiple areas, and she listed them off. She said, you could be tested in your finances. You could be tested in your health. You could be tested in your ministry. Or you could be tested in your marriage and your family life. Any one of them, or several of them at the same time. Now, I don't say that to scare you. I say that as the basis of my exhortation to you, my short word of exhortation, which is, remember Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That's my exhortation to you. Paul mentions his confidence in a God who started and continued to work in the Philippian church. God just didn't do that in the Philippian church. He does that in all his people. He does that in all his churches. He does that in all who are his and who bear his name. So the same divine work of saving and sanctifying us is going on in you, and it will be going on in those whom you are discipling and those whom you are teaching. And it will be going on amongst us here. So my word to you, Ken, Debbie, Kendra, Kaylee, and Austin, is Jesus is at work. Put your confidence in him. There's going to be times when you're going to be frustrated, times when you're going to be angry, times when you're going to be confused, times when you're going to be perplexed, and you're going to wonder in those times of trouble and testing, why am I in Colombia? Remember, what God has started, He will finish. Two men met to pray for a mutual friend. Actually, they met to pray for the summer. It was their bargain, their agreement with each other. And they always met on Mondays. And on the one Monday, the one man named Donald Carson came with a letter. And it was a letter from someone whom he knew who had recently come to Christ 3 years earlier. And she had had a hard life, a difficult life, but she had come to Christ. And in this letter, it was bearing the difficult news that she had just found out that she had terminal cancer, and she'll be dead within weeks. And the letter expressed a lot of bitterness, confusion, and despair. And so he brought that letter to the prayer meeting between the two of them on the Monday night. And they discussed, how shall we pray for our friend? He called her Jane. That's not her real name. But how shall we pray for Jane, who knows she's going to be dead within about 30 days? And so they went through the normal things that go through your mind. Should we pray, Lord, heal Jane? Lord, should we pray, take her quickly? She suffered enough in this life. How else could we pray for Jane? Well, maybe we could just do the usual prayer, Lord, bless Jane. Or maybe, Lord, rebuke her for her bitterness and her lack of faith. And they went through all those options, and it doesn't seem what we should pray. And so they searched the scriptures. And they looked through the scriptures, and they found the theme that they would request from God. And that theme was Philippians 1:6. So they prayed according to Jane, and along this theme, they said, God, you started a good work in Jane. We don't know why this cancer has come. We don't know why you've allowed this in her life, but you have started a good work, and that is the promise you have given for us, is that you will finish it. So, Lord, whatever you're doing in this circumstance, please finish your work in Jane. And that was the theme of their prayers for her that evening. Bring her to completion. Make her perfect. That was Monday evening. That Thursday, the following week, one of the men received a letter from Jane, which was wrote the following Tuesday, the day after they prayed. And she said she had woken up Tuesday, and I quote, deeply ashamed of her doubt and ingratitude. It was wonderful how God had saved her. And now if he wanted to take her home, why, that must be the best and wisest thing, and she would praise him in her home going. End of quotation. Doers, not everything is good. You know that. Not everything is easy, nor pleasant, nor right. You will experience evil, unpleasant, bad things, along with joy and contentment and blessing as you go. But Jesus is at work. Put your confidence in Him. He doesn't lie. What He starts, He doesn't quit halfway through. He finishes. Always. I'm going to end with a quotation. But before I say this quotation, the ushers, if you had arranged to tell the children's church when I was finishing so that they may come back for the actual commissioning, if the usher could go tell the children's church that I'm pretty well done. Thanks, Bruce. The children want to be here for the actual commissioning, and I think that's a good thing. So there's a quotation that I came across a number of years ago, actually a couple decades ago, and it greatly encouraged me. You may have heard of it. You may have read the book. Helen Morgan. You ever heard of her? Yes? Okay. She wrote a little thin book called Who'd Stay a Missionary? Not Who'd Want to Be. I think she might have wrote one like that too, but the one I have is Who'd Stay a Missionary? written in 1971. Our life on earth happens only once. It is there for us to use well or to spoil, to enjoy with courage and full endeavor, or to slip by in colorless mediocrity. Some stand on the brink of missionary service as I did, afraid, reluctant, finally to commit themselves, thinking of all they will miss. Go on, you will miss nothing. He's waiting for you to prove him in all that is ahead, so that you may say in the years to come, not one thing has failed of all the good things which my God promised concerning me. All have come to pass. End of quotation. I'd like Ken and Debbie, if you'd please come to the front. And we will just wait briefly for the children as well. And if you could grab that mic, that would be a good thing to do. And not yet. We'll get you to come up in a little bit. Okay. Yeah, you can stand. Since you're taller, you stand. No, you just streak this one. You're taller. You're down here. Now you're no, up one more. Up one more. There they are, the same height. There we go. You'll be tripping over each other soon.
Okay. Is this the part where I sing?
No, you can sing after it, your response. So. They will have a few moments afterwards to respond, and he can sing and dance and do what he likes.
He's the singer in the family.
So what I'm going to do as we wait for the kids is I'm going to read seven statements. They're statements of commissioning, statements of responsibility. I'm going to read them all, and at the end of that, they're going to have a reply, one-sentence reply, and then we will proceed with the prayer and the laying on of hands. Here they are. Okay. Glad to have you as part of this. Okay. I was going to say, I thought there were some taller ones. Okay, that's good. You know your line, right? I don't know. We have internet inside the sanctuary.
Doctor.
Yes.
Can you flash up the communist research?
Oh, here they come. They're going into the balcony. Welcome. You guys are special. You get to sit up there. I sit up there during the week. People don't know about that. I go up there all the time. It's a great place to read. Okay. Oh. Ken and Debbie, as you go to your place of service in Columbia, on behalf of the brothers and the sisters of First Baptist Church, I'd like to remind you of some of your responsibilities and secure your commitment to fulfill them in the grace of God. In regard to prayer, I charge you to remember the necessity of daily prayer as communion with God, and to give yourself to it in all circumstances, never allowing any other demand to usurp its place in your life. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In regard to the word of the Lord, I charge you to continue in your love for the Holy Scriptures, which have made you wise to salvation, and that daily you open and read his word for the sustenance of your own soul. Let no other book or other books take precedence over the word of the Lord. Meditate in his law day and night. In regard to those who have authority over you in the Lord, I charge you to esteem them and hold them in respect. Be ready and willing to learn from them, recognizing their experience first of the Lord and then of his work. Never make any person your ideal, but note in them the characteristics of Jesus Christ. In regard to fellow workers, both missionary and national, I charge that you, in all situations, you display and maintain graciousness of conduct and speech towards others. Be patient, kind, and forgiving. Set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in piety. In regards to your body and maintaining good health, I charge you to care for your body and seek to maintain it in health. And though the demands of your work be great, that you rest and nourish it, never lapsing into careless neglect, remembering that your body is the temple or dwelling of the Holy Spirit. In regard to correspondence, not only within your sphere of missionary responsibility, but also to your home and your church, I charge you not to neglect urgent and needful correspondence. Be consistent and regular in your communications with those at home. Remember, intelligent prayer comes through knowledge. And seventh, in regard to daily total abandonment of yourself to the Lord and complete faith in him in all situations, I charge you to go forth to the work of each day in a spirit of entire surrender of yourself and your affairs to the Lord. Walk by faith and not by sight. Do not be anxious in any respect, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all your needs will be met. Lean on the promise, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Ken and Debbie, having heard these statements of commissioning regarding your life and ministry in Colombia, do you solemnly promise, with the help of God, whose Spirit dwells in you, to daily commit your life to Christ, and through a witness by both word of mouth and holy living, honor him whom you have known and know as Lord and Savior?
By the grace of God given us, Jesus Christ, we do.
Thank you. I want to ask that you... I'll take the mic. Okay, stand here, parallel. I'm going to ask that the children, the Doer children, come forward, Kendra, Kaylee, and Austin, and stand in front of your parents. And at this time, I'm going to ask a number of people to come forward, and I want you to surround them, and we'll lay hands on them and pray for them. First, I'm going to ask... Reverend Gary Stops and Ruth to come forward. The Doers, Ken and Debbie, are members of our church recently at the last business meeting, and we always assign or we put together prayer partners. So Gary and Ruth are the prayer partners for the Doers. I'm going to ask the church board, the deacons and deaconesses, to come forward. I'm going to ask New Tribes Mission Representative Vern Dick to come forward. And we're glad that you can come, Vern. And I'm going to also ask the Board of Managers, those who are here. And last but not least, our newly formed Mission Committee members. If you are not already up here, some will be doing double duty, but come forward as well. So those that are close, you may put your hands on them, but not too heavy. I've been in that spot before. It gets heavy. So I'm going to give the opportunity for 4 or 5 people to pray as you choose amongst yourselves, and I will close us off in prayer.
Lord, it's a great opportunity to pray for the doers. Thank you for Ken, Debbie, your children, and for the opportunity to commission them in this way. Lord, it's been a privilege for me personally to get to know them over these past 2 years, for the opportunity to invest in their lives and for them to also invest in us. And Lord, it's going to be a number of years or a time of transition now as they return back to British Columbia, and then in October the 17th, I believe, head off to Columbia. And Lord, may you guide them and direct them. May you use them for your honor and for your glory as they are equipping servants of the church there in at the training center in Columbia. Lord, we have a tremendous need to reach unreached people groups with the gospel. And they've clearly demonstrated a passion to be involved in that. Thank you for the opportunity to send them off in this way. Thank you for the opportunity that we as an organization have been able to invest in their lives. Thank you for this privilege in Jesus' name.
Father, we praise you for the journey that this family has been on. We thank you for the doers and that they are among us and are part of who we are as your expression of Jesus Christ in this place. And we're so grateful, Father, that they are going to serve you in obedience and humility with open minds and hearts ready to receive from your hand. We thank you for that spirit and the witness of that spirit among us. It encourages our hearts, and we seek to encourage them, Father, and we faithfully commit ourselves to do all the things that are necessary to support them as you lead and guide and direct us as your church family here. Father, we are glad to do it in Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus, anything, anytime, anywhere, we are ready. You know this is our heart, the commitment of our lives. We've heard your voice. We have a soul thirst for you. And we are ready. We thank you that Ken and Debbie, Kendra, Kaylee, Austin are ready to move out, to move forward to the place that you've chosen for them to serve. We thank you that we are ready to do our part, as we've been exhorted again this morning. And we pray that we would be faithful servants to you as we move forward with joy and with thanksgiving, in anticipation of the great and glorious things that you are ready to do. We pray in Christ.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this work of yours that you have begun in all of us, bringing us together to be companions in the gospel. We acknowledge your wisdom. We acknowledge your strength. We acknowledge your right over us to arrange us as parts of your body as you desire, and to send parts of us out to different locations and use parts of us here to support and to encourage and to strengthen in different ways. We all acknowledge you, the one true God, as our God, whose glory needs to be proclaimed among the nations, whose name needs to be lifted up. We thank you that even though we are going to be separated physically, you go with all of us. You're with us all the time. And as this family goes, we ask that you will put upon them your special protection, protection from the evil one who hates when your gospel is preached and when people are obedient to you. We ask that you would put a special protection upon their marriage and their family, that you will bless them, and that you will watch over them and enable them to love each other, to be open and honest with each other, and to be able to solve and work through the difficulties that they will have. We ask that you will help us to be a church who loves you, and all their supporters are people. We ask that you help us to be people who love you and are faithful, so that on our end, we will always be a source for their finances as you have called us to be, through all their terms, as long as you have them there. That we'll always be this support, that the evil one will not take us out on this end either. Keep and watch over us. We ask specifically that you will pour your grace into them, your love and your mercy, so that as they go, that will ooze out of them and other people will be able to experience their grace, your love, and your mercy. We thank you for this time. In your name, we bless them. Amen. Yes, the kids may sit down. Ken and Debbie, it's my privilege to present to you on behalf of your companions in mission from First Baptist the certificate of commissioning. Hope that is yours.
You said 45 minutes, right?
You know what I mean.
It's our privilege to be partnered with you as a church. Early on in our training, the Lord led me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, and following. And as I was thinking how I wanted to thank you guys, how we wanted to thank you, this is where we ended up. I'm going to mess with the pronouns, but it's not going to change the meaning. I just wanted to read this and give a few comments as I go. We thank our God every time we remember you. In all of our prayers for all of you, we always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It was August 18th. It was our first Sunday in Ontario. That was in 2013. And by the grace of God, he led us to this church. I was greeted by the likes of Dwight Benson and Rod Cook. And we were immediately embraced as part of the family. It was an amazing feeling just to be pulled in. And I think it was the next week, Hartwell said, "I'm praying for Austin. He's my prayer partner." And he began praying for Austin, and it's like, wow, God, you are amazing in providing this church to love us and care for us. And it was an amazing feeling. I'm going to continue reading. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in us, all of us, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for us to feel this way about you, since we have you in our hearts. For whether we are in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with us, we can testify how we're going to be longing for you guys with the affection of Christ Jesus. And here's where I want to remind you that it's a partnership. The Great Commission of our Lord Jesus Christ didn't start and end with the ends of the earth. It started with Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. We're going to the ends of the earth, but we're charging you to take care of your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria. There's a big work to be done, and we all do it together by the grace of God. I didn't think I'd feel emotional, but because I'm not an emotional guy. But so, this is our prayer, that you may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Just remember, it's all to his glory. It's not Ken. It's not Debbie. It's not Pastor Mark. It's to his glory and to his glory alone that we do what we do. So as we leave, we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And we commit to communicating with you guys, keeping you up to date, keeping you involved as much as we can. To the seven statements, thank you. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you, boards, and for extending your love to us. And thank you for embracing all those students that come from New Tribes. It's a blessing to their hearts. And it's, I'm sure, it's a blessing to you as well. Thank you.
We're going to close by singing hymn number 312. Please stand with me and let's make this a prayer of our hearts.